It's Gut Shot. We're going to watch a gut-filled monologue, and I've never had Chris do this. Mm-hmm. And I thought it would be fun to have Chris do this. So, Chris, what's up?
Hey, what's up? A lot of people are like, oh, Gut Shot. Finally, maybe I get to see something without Chris. Well, think again. I'm here also.
He's here. Chris is here. We're going to do this.
Now, I'll admit, I've seen clips of the gut field, you know, just like on social media, but I've never watched myself. I've never watched it. I of course, do Huck Watch, which similar in there. It's like a bad, unfunny guy doing kind of Daily Show style stuff, right? Is that?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's okay. This guy. I don't know. I had watched several of his monologues for fun, not for fun, but as like, what's this guy up to?
You know, you just wanted to know what it was all. It is kind of a fascinating idea when somebody like this tries for a comedy show.
Yeah. And it was when I was doing Street Fight and people were, you know, people talked about him, and I like to know who all the weird right wing freaks were at that time, so that I kind of, you know, I can find things to talk about and stuff like that. And so I watched a bunch of his monologues, and I realized that, like, he bombed. Like, his jokes have, like, the worst hit rate I've ever seen for one of these guys. And for some reason, no laugh track. And it's fucking really disconcerting to watch.
I wonder if he was like, yo, we can't, you know, he was like, this is a creative decision. I won't let them put a laugh track in. Like, he thinks he's being kind of like a true comedian or something.
I think that's what it is, because, you know, he's friends with a bunch of he's friends with like Anthony Cumia and Jim Norton and like all those guys. Like, those are, and he probably,
he's friends with Anthony Cumia. If you asked him if he was friends with Anthony Cumia, would he say he was?
I don't. Well, Anthony was on Red Eye a lot.
And oh, he before, like Red back in the day.
Maybe he would still. I do think these guys like still see Anthony as more of a comedian than an enormous racist.
I don't know. I think he might be too far gone now, and he doesn't have any, like, you know, he has shit stuff so unpopular now that there's nothing to gain. So maybe, I wonder, like, people like Joe Rogan, because he had him on recently. Not how recently?
A few months ago. It wasn't that 6 months, maybe.
Yeah, because, I mean, Anthony Cumia has some pretty serious allegations.
Yeah, well, I don't think they care about that.
And also proven in court, like, he bit his girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, that one, they already knew about. It would have to be, I think they know about all the worst stuff, because there hasn't been any big thing.
If I found out my friend bit his significant other, I don't know. I don't know if I could keep on being friends with them.
It would be difficult, for sure. I don't think I would want to hang out with a guy that bit his significant other, but I think these guys already knew about that.
Yeah.
It was already out there, and they just kind of ignore all that. It seems like a lot of people just ignore most of Anthony, and then when they have him on, they think of the guy that did Opie and Anthony. You know what I mean? Like, they think, like, oh, we got the Anthony from Opie and Anthony on here, when he's not even really that.
No, not at all. Do you know what I just thought about is that he sort of has the benefit of the fact that he was so ugly before.
Yes.
Physically, he looked so ugly. So it was always like something about him, because he looks so bad now and like bloated and gross. And you'd think like, oh, people would be, they would find it off-putting to be around him because of how he looks. But he has always been so ugly and bad to look at that people got used to that.
The steroids, man. Those steroids make him look so fucking weird.
But exactly. But if you or I started looking all weird like that, people would be like, what the fuck? But yeah, he already was so ugly that nobody really like batted an eye, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's pick a monologue here. We got Gutfeld. We get to pick out of four. I got four up here.
What's the most recent one?
The most recent one I see is Gutfeld. Democrats don't want you to remember this.
Okay.
We have this 1 month ago. This rock star is acting like a mean girl, which that is funny.
Because I'm thinking of the movie Mean Girls and Rock. Okay. Yeah, that could. Yeah, that's. Let's go with that one. This rock star is acting like a mean girl. I'll take the this rock star is acting like a mean girl for 500, Brian.
But why, Chris, why isn't it a Karen? This rock star is acting like a frigging Karen.
Because could it be like, are they in like... Is there some reference to the movie Mean Girls or someone who's in it, like Lindsay Lohan or something? I'm trying to figure out why.
Well, here we go. We're going to find out.
Yeah. Okay, hang on a second. So he's doing this. So this is like Tough Crowd?
Yes, this part is. We're not doing it. It looks like we aren't doing a monologue. We're doing like a middle.
Yeah.
Middle. Section.
Mm-hmm.
And so this will be a panel, so we will
panel. Can we, this is kind of exciting. Does he has different guests on, like, but it's sort of regular, like, is it Tough Crowd ish
yeah, they have Tyrus, NWA, I think ex NWA world champion is on here,
and that's me. But when I say NWA world champion, I mean everybody knows I'm talking about the territory days, baby. When the NWA world champion meant something, when they tour around the country and they'd go to all the different promotions and they would take on, you know, the champs in those promotions, and God would those draw, you know, the local you know, stadiums, they'd be full cheering for Bruno Sammartino, Buddy Rogers, etc.
Well, now it means you're friends with Billy Corgan.
Yeah, exactly. Now it means that you're, and it's not considered a good promotion now.
It's like a friendship, like those best friend necklaces that are like a heart cut in two. That's like your Billy Corgan, like Billy Corgan. And he also took the title off of him recently.
Yeah.
Because he kept it on him for a very long time, but Tyrus is like immobile. Like a total mess. And I like that they have him on here. And they let him carry his fucking, they let him have his title belt on him. Because that's ridiculous.
That so is wait so a second. Stupid. On this show, he has his title belt?
Yeah, you'll see him.
Yes, it's Tuesday, everybody. Good to see you all. So
it's painful, isn't it?
Like, yeah, like already the reaction, like the claps. Like, is it just a really small studio audience? Yeah, turn it up.
I don't think so. It might be. I just think that I think a lot of people traveled to New York to mm-hmm. see.
It's a big time tourist destination for as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yes, as far yes, it is. But I think people traveled to New York and like conservative type people are there like, oh, I got to see this big trashy city. Mm-hmm. And one of their stops is Gutfeld. Just like, I don't know, people used to go see Letterman.
Like tourists, you think it's tourists, but kind of disgruntled conservative tourists, or maybe a little bit pissed off about how dirty this damn city is and what that means about America.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's who goes and sees this. And I think those people are too angry almost to. I haven't seen my father-in-law laugh in like 10 years.
I see. It's not a laughing matter to them.
No, no.
So an army of seven nations can't stop his Trump frustrations. Former rock star Jack White.
Hang on. Sorry. It's sort of this messing me up, the subtitle. Like, I know people probably appreciate that, but it's so delayed. What's up with that?
Yeah, it does suck.
But should we keep it on, though? Because people maybe appreciate that, right?
Yeah, we'll leave them on. I mean, they can read it, you know?
Yeah.
We should not pay attention to them. Here we go.
Pissy over people being polite to the former prez. And since his music has been selling about as well as a Hunter Biden painting.
Oh, my God. What? Dude, he's like considered one of the great musicians.
I know.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you can't be like, this guy's music hasn't been selling. Like, he's kind of in the twilight of his music career. He's really sold a lot of records, and he's toured and sold out huge. Like, this guy is a very successful musician.
Every time he tours. Every show is pretty well sold out.
He is as successful as you can hope to be as a musician. He, and I believe he now runs his own like recording studio where like this really, you know, where he records a lot of, you know, tries to find new musicians and stuff and is trying to pay it forward, I guess. So, I mean, he's really doing everything that you can hope for as an artist and achieving, he's achieved his goals and continues to, and Gutfield is fucking sitting here getting like two laughs on a Hunter Biden joke. And he's trying to go toe to toe with Jack White.
I haven't done a gut shot in a while, but I assume we're going to hear the name Hunter Biden a lot on here.
Yeah. There we go.
White.
That laugh. Can I just go back like the second?
Yeah, yeah, let's hear that laugh. I'd love to. I love rewinding, by the way. You're not going to have to tell me. I do that on Huck Watch so much. People get so mad at me. I go back and watch stuff over and over again.
Here it goes.
Selling about as well as a Hunter Biden painting. White decided to make headlines.
Oh, he paused for it. So I know, because
he does that. He pauses for the laugh.
Yeah, that's because
it's supposed to be a laugh.
And there's like the fact that the one person does laugh sort of throws it off. Like if nobody were to laugh, then it would like he could just keep going and sort of play it off, you know?
Yeah.
But that one person, that person might actually be like against him.
Yeah,
that person who's doing the laugh might be against them because they know that if I just laugh here, then I'm going to be the only one, but it will stop the show and it'll make it awkward.
I know you've done a lot of stand up. Yeah, you were.
Oh, yeah. No, I have actually. Thank you for bringing that up. I don't know if the audience, the gut shot audience knows that, but I am I'm a stand up comedian. I've done some stand up.
I have performed live in a comedian. I don't like to say I did stand up. I did it, but I didn't do it like.
Not like me, you know, I toured around, I did television, I did the Just for Laughs festival in Montreal, one of the big festivals. So yeah, real legit stand-up comedy.
But I know how bad it feels when you have a line that you think is going to fucking rule the earth. And one person laughs and you're just like, all right, I may never get another laugh again. Like, this is the way my mind worked is like anytime a joke bombed, I'd be like, well, I'm probably not. Nobody's ever going to laugh at me again.
It definitely depends. I mean, if you're having just a great set and a joke that like normally does well bombs, then it can be really sort of like strange feeling. You don't really know what's going on. But if you're just in this type of a setting where nothing's really working that well and you lay down one of your lines that you're hoping for a huge laugh and it gets nothing. Yeah, that's really soul destroying as a comedian.
And it's on TV, too. That's the
they can look at your face.
Let's see it.
That's the old fashioned way. By reminding people that you are evil if you ever shake Trump's hand. The disgruntled grunter wrote on Instagram, anybody who normalizes or treats this disgusting, fascist, racist, con man, disgusting piece of Trump with any level of respect is also disgusting in my book. And that's you, Joe Rogan, you, Mel Gibson, you, Mark Wahlberg, you, Guy Fieri. Guy Fieri. He went there to punctuate his keenan.
He's so fired up, but nobody has the...
The reason I love doing Gutshot is because of this guy just eating shit over and over again to an audience that was, you know, they're pretty primed to laugh. Yeah, they're probably fans of the show. You know,
he is so like angry, so he's like getting in that rant mode, you know, that just sort of needs people to get in on it and start sort of laughing and reacting, and he feeds off the energy, but it just never comes back to him, so he's just fucking floundering. And by the way, he did pick like Joe Rogan, obviously, you know, we hate Joe Rogan, he's looks like a little thumb or whatever, and then he's got Mel Gibson is like so bad, and Mark Wahlberg is like famous for all those racist attacks when he was younger. Like he's sort of like people don't talk about it a lot, but so I think Jack White sort of picked some scoundrels here. I don't know about Guy Fieri.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know about like, but I guess he's saying he treated Trump with respect. I don't know. Guy Fieri, though, I think it's unfair to get lumped in with Joe Rogan, Mel Gibson, and Mark Wahlberg if you're Guy Fieri. I agree with gut on that one.
Well, I could say this too. At the risk of, I hate to say this to everybody listening to this show who has ever followed me. If it was me and five other people and Donald Trump, and Donald Trump like stuck his hand out to shake mine, I'm such a coward. I would just shake it. anyway. You know, like, I don't know what else.
I would 100% do the thing where I put my hand out and then I pull back like Steve Sanders on everything, go, hey, like too slow and like slick back hair. And like, honestly, you know, he would actually be like, eh, nah. You know, he would laugh at that. Like, he would think that's funny. Yeah, he would think that's funny. But yeah, I understand. It's like, I don't think I necessarily would, but I'm like, I can be a very disrespectful person, definitely, and a confrontational person. But I understand people who would. It's not that crazy.
I'm a coward. I'm a huge coward. So
yeah.
Analysis, White included pictures of these evil celebrities at Saturday's UFC event, mingling and shaking hands with evil Trump, Gibson, Wahlberg, Fieri, Rogan.
Good job, buddy.
It sounds like he's listing people way more successful than him.
Well,
by the way,
hang on. No, Mel Gibson has totally fallen off, but maybe, you know, career-wise, like, these are very successful people, but so is he.
You can't
attack him on that. You can't. That's not a thing that is like a you know, that's not a place that you can go with Jack White. He has found success.
Very much. I wish we could get Michael Nolan's take on this. Like, if we could get him on here to watch this with us, because I wonder what he would think.
I can't imagine what it would be like speaking to Michael Nolan in like any kind of a friendly way. But do you think he must like Jack White, right?
He has to
respect Jack White. Jack White is like a true, you know, he's like respects blues, rock, and, you know, he's unique and has a tremendous amount of pure rock hits. Yeah, Nolan would love him.
Yeah, yeah. He likes Greta Van Fleet. I'm sure he likes Jack White.
The Gibson photo is actually from 2021, as if that matters, because then White added, "This is a statement from me, not a discussion or debate." Well, I'm glad he cleared that up. I was just about to invite him to my book club. Well, too bad.
Yeah. I can't even do that. I can't even do justice how small that was.
That was nothing. Nobody reacted to it at all. No one even recognized it as being a statement meant to be humorous or even anything to be react. I don't even know if everyone heard it.
Yeah, everybody's wearing like earplugs.
I mean, maybe there was like, yeah, maybe something happened out in the crowd at that moment and distracted the audience.
Yeah, you are a big phony. You sung at Loretta Lynn's funeral and she endorsed Trump. So knock it off. And debate is kind of that type of here at a good old US event.
That type of, like, you know, like they did this research, like, okay, so he performed at this funeral, this, you know, like, yeah. that's pretty dope. And also, debate is kind of what we do in this. No, we don't have to. We're not all like you, you know. Some things do definitely need to be debated by people more intelligent than, you know, you or I
or Jack White
or Gutfield.
Yeah,
but not everyone has to do debates. We do have this idea now, this debate culture really exists online, where it's just like, okay, debate or whatever. It doesn't often get anyone anywhere.
No.
It's mostly a bunch of people agreeing with the side that they've already decided they were going to agree with.
Exactly.
They, you pale pud pulling pissant.
Ooh.
It was alliterative. But what a typical left winger. All he cares about is Trump while people beat each other up in cages for money. So what were Rogan and Wahlberg supposed to do anyway? Tackle Trump to the ground and try to peel back his orange devil mask? Maybe that's what Jack White would do. Dude. He doesn't seem like a people person. This was his reaction when he realized Take Me Out to the Ball Game is more popular than anything he's ever written.
Take Me Out to the Ball Game is more popular than anyone ever written.
It's another than like Happy Birthday. Dude, this guy, it continues to attack him as if he's like a failed musician. This is a wild fucking attack, like, decision from the writing staff here. And also, this is like a funny photo. That's why people laugh, because it's like funny. He's like making a funny disgruntled face.
Yeah, he's scowling at a baseball game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks on his face, he appears to have mistaken his seat for a porta potty.
Can you go? Did you hear what was that, like a gas or like
that was someone on the panel? Panel.
Oh, because this is a panel, but he's doing his little jokes on the panel, and then they're gonna discuss them. Oh my god, that little that's the first time anyone on the panel has reacted to any of them. Oh my god, can you back it up a little bit?
It does point out that nobody's
reacted yet because they're mic'd up. They're mic'd up.
Yeah, they are.
He appears to have mistaken his seat for a porta potty.
But not it's barely a laugh.
It's not, it's like something you would, like a polite little sound you would give to like an old sort of like senile family member who like says something that meant that you can tell they mean as a joke, you know?
Yeah. 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 For sure. It's like my father-in-law loves to tell me old like street jokes.
Yeah.
And it's like I have to just be like,
yeah, that's good. That's exactly what that was. This is really, really, really awesome. This is better than I expected. Like, I more fun than I expected.
It's so good.
None of this bothers me, and it doesn't bother you. Who cares what White thinks anyway? This is a monologue merely to remind you that only stupid people still use the phrase normalize. By shaking Trump's hands, you normalize Trump. Nearly 80 million people voted for the guy. Some of them were once your fans.
Suck my cock. What? You can just imagine because it was all bleeped out. Like, I wonder what he said. Fuck you, I think, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
He's our 45th president. You can't get much more normalized than that these days. But with these whiny stars, it's always about normalizing and weaponizing, but rarely ever civilizing. I mean, going after Guy Fieri... He's like the nicest guy in the world. Sure, he's got hair like a lesbian firefighter.
It gets a laugh when it's like hateful.
But that also does showcase that like they are there and they will laugh. So these other lines are dying. Like they are dying to an audience that's there. It's not a small audience. You can hear it. It's a regular studio audience.
If you say something vaguely homophobic, they're gonna
if you say lesbian,
yeah, that's a joke. I mean,
and also if you just like say this person looks like this thing, that's always gonna get people, because it's like they don't have to be paying much attention, you know what I mean? They can be just kind of drifting in and out. They see the photo and then they're just like, ah, lesbian, whatever, ha, you know, like it's very easy, no context needed.
It's true.
Oh God!
But he raised over $25 million to help restaurant workers during the pandemic. And Mark Wahlberg, everybody knows he's an active supporter of veterans charities. But more important, he led the Funky Bunch.
Wait! What else was he doing at that era?
Yeah.
What else was he doing during that era? I believe he was involved in a number of racially motivated assaults, including one where he took someone's eye out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he was screaming racial epithets at them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is not like a shining example of.
I think he's a classic racist Boston guy.
Yeah,
brought tame rap music and abs to millions of preteens who needed it badly. But Wahlberg lost cool points for being too nice to Trump. But again, that's Jack White's problem. Again, you see how intensely some children have been broken by Trump. So much so that being civil in public becomes an evil endorsement. I once held a door open for Brian Kilmeade. It doesn't mean I don't hate him.
Okay, that's funny. And also, I've fucking pranked this fucking idiot so many times. We call him and tell him we like his book. It's one of my favorite ones ever. I said, did you change the paper on your book? Did you use a new... softer paper? And he's like, oh no, I don't think so. Why do you ask? And I was like, oh, it just feels different when I wipe my ass with it. So we would always do that. This guy's a real dickhead. But I think he's saying this joke, right? They're actually friends, probably.
Oh,
right? This is one of those like frenemies things, right?
Oh yeah, he always makes jokes about the other guys at Fox News that he's friends with.
That's funny too. And it's like, then the audience is like, oh, I kind of know that guy. He's another Fox News guy. Okay.
But it shows you that White isn't interested in solutions. Rather, he's part of the problem. A recent study claims nasty politics haven't been higher since the Civil War. Which
wait
is
a second. Wait, 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 wait,
from-
wait, 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 wait. What kind of study is that? it found that nasty politics is at the highest. I don't think that you could do an accurate study on something like that.
Also, what is the conversation?
I believe that's subjective. That yeah. Nasty politics. You can't say like there was. Can you go back and just hear that sentence one more time? Like,
American University associate professor. So.
Oh, so one guy said that. I think he said it's a study though. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, maybe yeah. I'm wrong.
Politics haven't been higher. Since
oh, go
the
back.
Civil
you got to go
War.
Back further. Sorry. It's sorry, everybody.
Damn word nasty.
Apologies.
All right.
Politics.
Oh
God. Been
oh jeez.
But it shows you that White isn't interested in solutions. Rather, he's part of the problem. A recent study claims nasty politics
study.
Haven't been higher.
A recent study. Yeah. So he did say that. That is not, you can't say that's a recent study. A guy said that. Some guy named Thomas Zaitzoff, who sounds like somebody who would be go on the Stu Peters show or something. But like... You can't just say like, oh, a study show that nasty politics is more prevalent than any. Oh, man.
Here, I'm gonna play for
since the Civil War, which is kind of funny since they said that first under Trump and blamed him for it. But now it's worse under a Democrat.
Wait a second. What's that tell you? Based on one guy said that you are so disingenuous. That makes me so fucking mad, man. I'm sorry, but like. You are so that's such horse shit. He knows that that's not. He's trying to like make people feel that way. He's misrepresenting the facts on purpose, and he's meant to be like a newsman.
I'm looking to yeah. Here we go.
Well, then it never was about Trump. It was the overwrought response to him, like this dweeb. Now you can call it white supremacy.
This dweeb,
Jack White.
You call Jack you.
This guy is a dweeb. He is literally a rock star, an internationally famous rock star. His fucking music plays at sporting events to yeah. pump the fucking crowd up.
Yeah.
He is definitely fucking cooler than you in everybody's mind. Even your friends and family think he's cooler than you.
It's funny too. Like people at pro wrestling shows chant things to the tune of a yeah. song that he fucking wrote
at soccer events too at yeah. footy events as well, like big like premiership game chants are in that. Like I mean, he is like one of the most successful and coolest rock stars of our generation. Whatever, you can say what you want. Maybe some people are watching like, hey, I'm not a fan of White Stripes or Jack White or whatever, fair enough, you know, but you can't say he's not a successful and like a cool rock star.
Yeah.
Come on.
Supremacy. I know. Clever, huh? Elites who felt so superior to those deplorables who won in 2016 that they had to weaponize their celebrity to marginalize these Trumpers. They normalized degradation to millions, which is what Hitler did. See, I can be a liberal too. But even if you don't respect the man.
Fucking shit, dude. Like, that should have got, like, so much, Chris. That line right there, I think he probably, in his mind, was like, when I get done with this, these fucking people are going to be on their feet, like, clapping. Like, that's right, Hitler. You know?
That was so fucking painful.
I know.
In office, you're allowed to respect the office of the president. It's all part of growing up. For example, I still respect the office of president, even though Joe Biden keeps forgetting he's in it. Hey, remember the time Joe tried to shake hands with me? Well, at least that was there in spirit.
Wait,
so Jack,
wait,
quit acting
wait.
Like a...
That wasn't a good joke. That actually was one of the worst ones he's told yet.
Mean girl and get back to the music. I just heard some of your most recent stuff. Ugh.
I'm gonna fight them all. A seven nation army couldn't hold me back. They're gonna rip.
So you couldn't actually find him playing anything bad.
No.
So you had to take the one of the most famous songs rock songs of the last like 25 years. I
mean, you could say in the history of rock music.
It's one of the more, it's definitely, I'm recency bias probably a little bit, but yeah, it's one of the most famous songs. Like we said, it's played at all these, it's used in like the melody of it's used in chants at wrestling, at sporting events, it's played at sporting events. And so you had to take that song and sort of just make him sound like he's doing it badly.
Yeah, he's doing a bit here.
Taking their time right behind my back. Seven Nation Army!
Nice!
Better I was wondering who was laughing, and it was him.
Yep.
I was like, well, hey, someone on the panel's enjoying it, and it was him.
Yes, it was old Greg.
And was it his voice doing it, do you think? Like doing the Seven Nation Army, or is that someone else?
That's probably one of his writers. I do want to say, Chris, that we like to point out that he has a massive pile of papers in his lap, too.
Oh, huge.
Like a lot.
And he has a clipboard. Like he might need to write. He doesn't just have the papers. He might need to write on them. He has a pen as well, maybe.
Holding his glasses in his hand too.
Oh, those are his glasses. Okay.
Yeah, why don't you leave those back in the dressing room, dude? Oh, what am I doing?
Metzger.
Now I gotta go back a bit. Okay, here we go.
Better than his older stuff.
Better than his older stuff. So he had to throw that in there. But like, of course, you can't find, you know, his music's good.
Yeah.
You don't dare play it because people in the fucking audience, everyone will start fucking rocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's welcome tonight's guest. She has 8 points on her license for talking too fast. Host of the Fox True Crime Podcast, Emily Caballo.
Nobody and no name.
Don't you dare applaud him. He's frightened by unfamiliar sounds.
Oh, Kurt Metzger. Listen, he used to be funny, I think. He's one of these guys who, like, at one point was funny, and then this whole sort of
Trump
culture war stuff and, like, you know, free speech stuff maybe turned him a little bit totally into, like, just this sad kind of character now who goes on fucking gut field.
And he's wearing a shirt that says LGBTQCIA.
That's funny. I heard a clip where he was terrified of getting beaten up by Luis J. Gomez. And he was on stage and Luis J. Gomez was threatening to beat him up. And he was just acting like someone who was very afraid of getting beaten up.
But they seem like they would have a lot in common.
I think they were friends, but then something happened and Luis J. Gomez got mad at him. I don't know. I watched some of these comedy video where people like talk about comedians.
Yeah.
You know, they're like YouTubers. It's like drama stuff, but for comedians, it makes me laugh. Really hard.
Kurt Metzger. The doctor has to put the blood pressure cuff around her waist. Fox News contributor Kat Toop.
Wait, is that a comment on how skinny she is?
It is. Here we go, Chris.
I think she's like skinny where it sort of seems like unhealthy or whatever. Maybe not, but maybe that's just, but it doesn't seem like the type of thing that you should be making fun of.
For sure. Here we go, Chris. Here we go. This is your man.
And at the gym, his spotters also need spotters. My massive sidekick in the NWA's World Heavyweight Champion, Tyrus.
First off, I don't think Tyrus is going to the gym very much. That's just...
No, his arm, when he sort of is giving his little thing, he's pretty flabby.
And he's carrying his NWA World title.
Which, again, you know, when Luthez had the strap wrapped around him, it was different. It meant something. And nowadays, not so much.
Yeah, there was a time where, like, Ric Flair would be carrying that around everywhere. And
Terry Funk, like, maybe, you know, someone like that, you know, would be. Yeah, Ric Flair famously was one of the great NWA world champs at the height, you know.
Now NWA is just a show that where they bulk record several episodes in Atlanta and run them on YouTube. Every week.
And for anyone who doesn't know a lot about the history of wrestling like I do, basically the NWA was essentially meant the world champion of all the territories. The NWA was the, you know, the governing body of all of the different territories, Mid-South and all these different, you know, Memphis and Jerry the King Lawler and all of those places. So they would all have their own champion, and the NWA world champion would go from town to town defending it basically every night. It was a real grueling schedule, and it was the biggest and most prestigious prize in all of wrestling at one point.
And I'm going to tell you right now, there's several belts that are much more important than
and they're all in the WWE.
No, they're not. There's WWE belts, AEW belts, New Japan Pro Wrestling
AEW belt. Cheapens the belts because there's 100 of them, and you know that's true.
That's true, but
there's too many of them, there should only be, and we all know this, and WWE is guilty of it as well. There should only be 5 belts.
That's all. Maybe too many, too.
No, because I'm including tag team.
Okay.
Yeah. But so there should be 5 belts, because there should be a heavyweight champion, an intercontinental champion, a tag team champion, then probably a cruiserweight or whatever, you know, probably like a lighter weight champion. I like that, because I would like to see more of that. The big guy, little guy stuff, I'm not a huge fan of. But you're right. Maybe you only need 4.
Yeah. Yeah, I think at the risk of
women's title, of course, a women's title as well. So you definitely need a women's title, and then so that is 5, because you need a women's tag team title as well.
And generally, it's a little bit, the belt thing now is, as I think, a substitute for telling good stories.
Yeah, and sorry to say,
people used to wrestle each other for personal reasons. It didn't have to be for a championship. So I agree with you on that. Thank you.
And I will say that as someone who goes to a lot of local events, I'll say, you know, I am obviously a classic territory guy when there wasn't a lot of the women's wrestling and there wasn't as much of it. But nowadays, they're pretty fucking impressive.
They can go. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see what these geniuses have to say about. I mean, these incredibly successful geniuses have to say about Jack White.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're all going to talk about Jack White.
Yep.
So not just to be clear, Jack White is infinitely more successful than every single person on this panel.
Yeah. By so much.
Some of them, I don't know them. Like 2 of them, I don't know who they are.
Yeah. Kurt Metzger does not get close to Jack White, though.
No.
Funkasaurus.
Emily, would this ever mean anything to you if it was somebody else? Like, does this? I just find this story so silly. That's why I did it. But isn't it funny? I mean, like, would this actually bother you if it was somebody you really, really cared about?
You mean that it was Jack White saying that, or about Trump?
Wait. I'm sorry. I just need to clarify, because your fucking question was confusing and didn't make any sense, because you're extremely bad at hosting a panel like this.
That really was, like, as a person who does a podcast, that every once in a while we even have a panel.
So so confusing the way he presented that.
Yeah. He just went to one person and started, like, fumbling over anything. How would you, and if this happened and it was somebody else, then what would happen? How would you feel?
To the point where on the first question, she has to just be like, without saying it, like, I didn't understand at all what you were saying there.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think you hit the nail on the head so many times in your monologue.
Oh, thank you.
That it's Jack White's problem.
Yeah.
And it's emblematic of everyone with derangement syndrome. It's emblematic of everyone with the approach to Trump that he is the end all be all, and it means nothing whether you've raised $25 million for the restaurant industry, whether you've saved animals and children, where you've elevated the dialogue and the intellectual caliber of this country, whether you were part of Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, which is the number one thing that you could ever do to make life amazing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter about all this.
Oh God,
Marky
man.
Mark and the Funky Bunch, so is the number one thing you could do to make life
sort
amazing.
Of like goofing around a little bit, like trying to like. But she just said the exact same thing that he said. So she got nothing new to add so far. So that's very cool. Congratulations on that.
If you voted
for a funky bunch, weren't they?
If you voted for Trump, we've covered it on this show. They don't want to have you at the Thanksgiving table. They don't want to date you. They don't want to have you room with them in college.
Yep.
It's the absolute final point to end and sever any type of relationship whatsoever. And never mind the fact that, yes, he was our president and served a full term, but that he lowered unemployment rates.
Oh, congratulations, Trump. You served a full term.
Yeah, I think that, like,
you're not getting impeached.
You have to understand that. It, you can't be surprised. Like, you can go ahead and support somebody like that, but somebody who is like policies, like makes it policy to try to like disenfranchise people who are already like marginalized people and just like inflict sort of pain on people. If you support someone like that, some people are going to see that as a reflection on you, and they are not going to want to associate with you anymore because they are going to find you to be detestable as a human being. That's something you have to accept. That's politics, you know?
I used to say this on Street Fight a lot, but like, there is like this thing where like people who voted for George W. Bush We're
guilty. Voting,
we're voting for like just voting against gay marriage. And generally, I don't even think they were doing that. I think they were voting because of, you know, well, first of all, we didn't elect him the first time. I'm talking about the second time. We're voting because of the war. He was like, we don't want to. I remember all the talk was, we don't want to change horses in the middle of war. So he wins this other thing. And I never really held that against the people in my life that voted for him or whatever. But Trump is like an id. Like, he's all of the nastiest possible stuff. Like, he's racism, he's homophobia, he's just, he hates poor people, he's all this stuff that, like, if you are able to overlook that sort of thing, then that's a problem for me.
Yeah,
I'm not able to do that.
And like, listen, I probably know some people. I don't think I could be close friends with. I certainly couldn't be like in a relationship with, or like, you know, spend a lot of time with somebody who is like an outright. But I know people who are, you know, I know people who are. But yeah, you have to understand, if you're taking that position and you're supporting a guy like that, it is a little different than supporting a guy like Bernie Sanders or Joe Biden. There is differences to it. It is, of course, our opinion versus your opinion, but there's only one side that is just like, yo, I want to get rid of trans people. You know what I mean? There's only one side that is saying stuff like that. So,
and if you know trans people, like, you don't even you don't have to know any to be a decent person that thinks that they should be allowed to have what they have. But if you know them, you know even more how much all this stuff hurts.
Of course.
You know what I think? Yeah, I always talk about, like, when people talk about the opiate crisis, the opioid thing, it's like, nobody got in trouble for that, and I lost several friends.
Me too. I lost two friends directly to opioid overdoses. Yeah, and that's just fucking
nobody, not one person ever got in trouble for basically hooking everybody on them. And now nobody gets in trouble because now people are out doing heroin and stuff because they can't get their hands on stuff because they you know, held, they're now making them harder to get the legal stuff, the stuff that you may not, you'd be safe taking. I don't know. Shit just makes me nuts.
It's for underserved communities and minorities, and elevated education rates for the same, that there's a reason why those in minority populations were flocking to his policies and to him still to this day, including double digit points in states. Like, the list goes on of,
okay, when somebody, for the people that are listening, and you know, I'm not a politics guy anymore or whatever, when they say double digits in states, they mean 10.
Usually.
They're not going to say double digits if it's like 50 or 60 or even 30. They say 10. It's like when somebody says, this song is in the top 8 songs of all time. And you're like, well, then I guess it's number
8. Guess it's 8. Number 8. And now, you know what I was just thinking about, though? Because, like I said, Kurt Metzger, you think he's a horrible guy, probably, but he does understand what it is to be funny and to write a joke.
I can't wait to hear what
he understands that. He gets it. I've seen him do stand-up live. I've seen him. He can tell a funny joke. He knows what funny things are.
Yeah.
So this must be, like, when listening to that monologue and just sitting there, well, he is just like, God, it must, like, sort of be an eye-opening thing for him a little bit. Like, holy fuck, man. This is where this has brought me to.
So I'll tell you who writes. Nick DiPaolo writes some of this, which makes sense that it's not funny. Joe DeVito is another guy that writes for...
Not Ray DeVito?
Joe.
Okay, because I know there's a comedian named Ray DeVito.
Yeah, so you're getting some of the patented DiPaolo humor.
How that person and his policies affected Americans for the better. But people like Jack White will never see beyond that, and they'll never see beyond the contributions positively of those people that dared to shake his hand to then sever them publicly.
You know, Kurt, it's a funny contrast because it happens at an MMA fight, and like Jack White's upset that they shook hands. It's like, it's an MMA, it's just so bizarre.
Is he saying that Jack White should be mad about MMA? Seems like his argument.
I mean, he's got blue hair, dude, but I
oh, that's good.
I thought like The Apprentice normalized Trump. I believe the moment
yes
when he was normalized with Jeff Zucker, that's when they gain of function Trump.
Yeah,
and he leaked out and they got a whole panic and had to lock everything down.
Yes.
You know, and I never dreamed that liberal darling Guy Fieri. You know, they all loved Guy Fieri before this.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I gotta say, this is tough because this is all written. This is all like heavily pre-prepared and heavily written and scripted right out. And you can even see the way he has to like get back on track when they interrupt because he has it all sort of scripted out.
Terrible, Chris. This is depressing. This is a comedian. So you said he must know this is dying.
Oh, well, yeah, he's a proper stand-up comedian. Not anymore, but he was. Like, you know, he would do like all the big clubs and did festivals, like did Just for Laughs and stuff. He was
wrote on Inside Amy Schumer. It was big, famously, he wrote for that show. So
I'll become the Dylan Mulvaney of people who watch Jen Psaki.
Yes. It is true though, because like all of the people that claim how disgusting Trump is. We're all over him for 25.
The Dylan Mulvaney.
Any of people who watch Jen Psaki. Like, maybe that's funny if you, like, if it makes sense. Maybe if it, like, if you break it down and you're able to, but I don't know. I don't, nobody got it. If it was. I don't get it. It's like, it sounds just like a classic, like Dennis Miller. Like, you're like a, you know, Jen Psaki and watches Jen Psaki. Like, it sounds like something he would say. Just a bunch of names, references.
People who watch White House press briefings.
Yeah, they might.
Dylan Mulvaney of the person who does the White House press. I don't even know what it means.
I don't get it.
30 years.
Did you read the Guy Fieri restaurant reviews?
Yes.
When his restaurant came out?
Yeah.
They were better than what Jack. They were not as good as what Jack White said.
Yeah, exactly. Cat.
Fuck.
Whoa.
Fuck me. That was hard. That was.
He said the opposite. Fucked it up.
For people listening, he did. You heard him fuck it up. For people watching right now are hiding under there.
Yes, people are. Now you can come out from under the table. Although, Brian, we need to play that again one more time because that is rough. Even Gut is like, oh shit, that was rough, but brother. Even Gut couldn't handle that moment.
Here we go.
Yes.
The restaurant came out.
Yeah.
They were better than what Jack, they were not as good as what Jack White said.
Yeah, exactly. Cat.
Oh,
did this break your heart?
Oh my God. If you're listening, he gives a little like sort of like shrug of the shoulders. He closes his eyes and sort of shrugs his shoulders in the silence.
Oh, Jim from The Office.
There's an audience there. Oh. Oh my God, that is so rough. And yes, he understands. He is feeling that. He knows how badly this is going for him.
That was really tough. I hope it's bigger laughs than Kurt Metzger.
But like someone like, I mean, I guess Cyrus knows from wrestling and being on the mic a little bit, but like if you don't, I guess like they don't really know. Like if they're not getting laughs or whatever, and you're not a comedian, you're not used to getting laughs, I don't think it's like a big deal, you know? You just like talk and say stuff.
Yeah.
Art, as a fan of the White Stripes?
No, I'm still a fan, and I still think he's hot. Before Edward Scissorhands. Speaking of hot, we should watch this.
What?
How will the show be different in our new time slot? Well, for one thing, we're going to give the viewers what they've been asking for, which is
10% less, Greg.
Gutfeld, now airing 1 hour earlier, beginning July 17th.
Why are you applauding?
Yeah.
Just you a little bit less.
That was a joke, I believe.
Yeah, but that was just cut to a promo. Is she a part of the show, or is she like the co-host?
She's on it a lot. She's on it a lot. I will say that Kat Timpf is somebody I'm very familiar with from doing Gutshot. She is on a lot of time.
So what was she saying there in the?
They're moving an hour earlier.
And also like, hey, you don't like White Jack White, and she's like, no, I do, and he's like a hot guy.
And then also watch this commercial.
Yeah, watch this commercial. But no, I still like the White Stripes. They're like at least I give her credit for that. She's like, they're undeniably a good band, and he's like hot to me.
Then here comes Kurt Metzger. We got a good stop on his face. Let's see if he's got something new to say.
Business.
I wish. Does that mean you're going to give us 10% more cat?
I don't have more to give.
Yeah, that's above my pay bracket.
Yeah.
Just shave a little.
Yep, your pay bracket. That's above your pay bracket.
You mean your pay grade?
Yeah.
But, of course he does. But also, like, he's just doing that, like, I'm going to step aside here. I don't even want to comment on that. Like, what? Just fucking go with it, man. Like, say something.
Tyrus, that is not world champion behavior.
Tyrus, man. This is a disaster.
I know. Every one of these is this, Chris. So,
a little Greg off.
Yes, exactly. I'm just going to speak less, so it doesn't feel like it's 10%, but I'll still be here.
Yeah, well, okay, so Jack White.
Yes.
I think he could use more ideological diversity in the circle that he hangs out in.
Mm-hmm.
Because he, I guess, saying something like this thinks that a lot of people are going to be like, yeah.
They are.
You don't but want to are, demonize but they are. Huge sex.
Yeah.
He doesn't fucking care.
Something
you don't want to. You don't want to demonize of an audience. She's gonna say the potential. He doesn't care.
Yeah,
he has enough money, and he's not like a person who seems to be driven by that entirely. So I don't think he would care if he stopped making money. I think he has enough.
That's a conservative thing, though, to say like he doesn't care if he demonizes half of the audience, and it's like no, they don't.
No.
I never once thought I wish I could get more Trump people to listen to my show.
Yeah, I've been trying to get more Republicans to watch my channel, but they are not taking.
They do not like.
They say like you're explicitly making fun of us and our views and the people that we look up to the most. I don't know why you think I would like this, and I'm like, give it a shot.
Segments of the population, you're really also kind of cheating yourself, because there could be people who vote a certain way that you might have something in common with. I think that the left is worse at this. I think the right can do it too. If you're somebody who's like in a comment section, like Democrats, I call them demon rats. Like you also need to go outside.
I will say this. Listen, I don't agree. She's being the most reasonable here, though.
Yeah.
She's speaking fairly reasonably. She's even saying, listen, I think liberals are worse at it, but conservatives do it as well, I think. And she's saying, everyone could probably maybe, but not when it comes to this type of stuff, but have a more diverse sort of group of people when it comes to certain opinions. You can get into an echo chamber. That is true, a political echo chamber.
Brother, I've been in one for years.
So, but yeah, there's nothing really wrong with it if your echo chamber is like, hey, I want people to have a good life.
Yeah.
Who are you imitating there?
The internet.
He's got blue hair. I mean, what do you want?
I think
that's good point.
You said that.
Well, he wants. Yeah. Thank you for reiterating, Kurt. He has blue hair. He has blue hair. I'm not sure what I don't know if you guys completely ignored it when I mentioned it before and just acted like I'm not here. Like similarly to the way everyone's been reacting to all of my jokes. So I'm going to repeat it and let you know he has blue hair.
this freaking rock and roll guy has strange colored hair.
Let me tell you what. Do you see this background behind me? For those listening, he's got a blue background behind me. I'll tell you what. He could, if he is sitting here behind me, he would look the same as me right now because he wouldn't see his hair because he got blue hair.
This guy's got blue hair. This
guy's got fucking blue hair. I don't know if, like, in one photo, by the way. He doesn't regularly have. They showed one photo. They've showed like 20 photos, and one of them he has blue hair. It's not like his regular hair color.
That really, we're not doing ourselves any favors, because this is how the government gains more power, by pushing us against each other, pitting us against each other. We're all distracted, and then they just gain more and more control over us.
Did you consider that the guy we're talking about has blue hair?
Yeah, he's got blue hair, though. I mean, that's true as well, what she's saying, on some level, you know, that, like, yeah, certain culture war issues are pushed forward to keep people probably a little bit from, like, you know, other issues that might center the blame more on rich people and the people who are in power. I think that's, like, very, like, she's not saying anything that's, like, groundbreaking in any way. She's just like saying, like, really, really basic concepts.
Yeah.
Listen, I get it. Record sales are down. If your TV ratings are down, if you know your girl's mad at you, blame Trump.
Yeah.
Because,
wait a second. No, you're the one who is actually failing. Are you talking about yourself?
Your ratings are down. What channel is NWA on? Like, what kind of views they get on YouTube?
Didn't you used to have a show on Fox and then you lost it? I believe that's true.
Some shit, right? Like,
yeah,
he was doing some sort of harassing.
Aren't you like a bad guy and you're actually failing really badly? Like, and once again, sorry to say it again, but isn't Jack White done very well and continues to do very well?
I mean, Jack White, you could argue, is done as well as Billy Corgan, which is,
I think he has. I think definitely. I mean, Billy Corgan had a few, Bullet with Butterfly, like that, he maybe the biggest record of that time. But
I'm gonna look at something here real quick for you. NWA Power, episode 124, streamed 18 hours ago.
Okay,
it has.
Oh, you're playing it.
That was an accident.
That was a flub. It's not called an accident. It's called a
22,000 views.
Pretty good.
In 18 hours. Yeah. I mean, it's a wrestling promotion. It's basically a TV show. But yeah. It's
probably about the same as You Know Who, if we're being honest.
Yeah. What, Opie?
AEW.
Oh, shut up. And AEW has like several million views videos.
Because everyone goes, what? Trump? So we're talking about this guy. I don't even know who the hell he is, because he's did.
You don't know who he is,
dude. That you not knowing who Jack White is a problem for you. Not
you don't know who he is. Are you? Is that? Are you being serious? You're not really trying to say you don't know who Jack White from the White Stripes is.
Doesn't know. Yeah. Who's this frigging guy from the White Stripes?
I've never heard of him. The look he gives before, too, it's so like weird. I thought he was looking at Gutfield. It was so awkward. He paused for so long, like this guy, like doing an exaggerated sort of wrestler look at him.
And then Kurt Metzger was like, "You see, this guy has blue hair."
Yeah, well, in the photo they're looking at, he doesn't, but we know he does.
Punched up, went after everybody, and he said Trump, and Trump is the magic word. If you say Trump, people will pay attention. So
why does he doesn't need people to pay attention to this. He is the worst panelist, Tyrant.
He is
like so wildly off base with anything that he's saying here, and he just has no point to make whatsoever. He just felt like he had to talk because everyone else had talked and it was his turn. He had nothing to add. I fucking hate this guy.
I'll just pretend I don't know who he is. I'll be fine.
In a capitalistic society, you want everyone to buy your stuff. So you pissed off half the country.
Oh yeah.
And damn it, I didn't even think about capitalism.
These people are so fucking stupid. they've based this entire fucking panel is based on just like a false premise that he's unsuccessful and cares about fucking, you know, alienating people.
Yeah, and but Chris, I think you know more than anyone, we live in a capitalistic society.
Well, it's a capitalistic society, and you definitely, every single person cares about getting as much money as possible. They must. I do. And so they must as well.
Views. We're all trying to get views.
Views equal money. Views equal money.
That's true.
Money equals power.
Yes. NWA power.
Then you went, and maybe all the country's not hip on politics, but they love Wahlberg. They love Mel. Everyone loves.
You're not hip on
the little cook guy.
First off,
you're not fucking hip on politics. Hey, you know the whole country doesn't know politics like me. You know
the whole country loves Mel.
Did he just say the whole country loves Mel?
Here, I'll go back like a second. You can hear what the examples he gives here.
And then you went, and maybe all the country's not hip on politics, but they love Wahlberg. They love Mel. Everyone loves.
Hey, hang on,
cook guy.
Hang on. I can think of a certain religion of people that do not necessarily love Mel Gibson, being that he is a horrible anti-Semite whose father was an actual Holocaust denier. So I would say there is some portion that is not a huge fan of Mel.
Yeah. Mel isn't on top the way he was before he called that cop sweet tits or whatever.
Sugar tits. Thank you very much. Yeah. Let's not be erroneous in our reporting either. Sugar tits. And let's check out Mel Gibson's like last movie. You know, like the movies he's making now are not. Oh yeah. They're not good. Like they're those kind of Bruce Willis style ones almost. Desperation Road.
Yeah.
The country doesn't
doesn't look to me like the country necessarily does love Mel. To me, you know,
we have now. I'll tell you, he did make a pretty good one in 2022, a movie that I watched, and that is the one where he plays a shock jock, and it's called On the Line.
Damn it, we have to watch that.
Brother, this has 21% on Rotten Tomatoes and 33% audience score. This is a full bomb, but I'll tell you what, I enjoyed it because it is like a fun to watch bomb. Definitely.
Yeah, I'll see if me and you can watch that on like StreamYard and then post the link on Patreon so people can see it. We don't get like
and like just us watching the entire film.
Yeah, and we won't get any DMCAs or anything like that. We have to do that.
Wow.
So here we go. We should do that with talk radio and pump up the volume too, which I've done before, but not with you. Okay, here we go.
And you just pissed them off. So there's, let's say, 25%.
Yeah.
So now you have a perfectly good excuse when you
go. Sure,
back
let's
to
just
manager.
Say 25%. Let's just make a number up and say it. Sure. Fucking why not? Who gives a fuck?
Let's just say you got 25% of the country listening to your stuff and really liking it. You're like, okay, I fucking would love that. That would really improve my life immensely.
100 million or something. This is ridiculous. This is completely like this is not anything at all. This is a completely unnecessary conversation between fucking five idiots.
I know.
Except for, like I think that girl, Kat, the woman, Kat, isn't like she's not my type of person. But I don't think she's necessarily an idiot either. Although she is just kind of giving basic.
You've never seen her on other.
She is an idiot, a proper idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm sure she's terrible. If she's a regular on Gutfield, I'm just saying the things she was saying there were just kind of like basic sort of ideas, you know,
Chris, can I say that I like that Kurt Metzger got like 25 seconds and he bombed the whole entire thing?
Buddy, that was his entire fucking appearance was just that bomb joke.
It's a disaster. Well, we still got like a minute and a minute.
He could pull it out. He could pull it out with a huge, huge, banger to end.
He's going to say blue hair.
It's not my fault that 3/4 of the country and the planet hates me. Because he has no record sales, so this is how you get relevant. We see it all the time. Reporters are doing it for book deals. Acosta was doing his thing, and then where is he now? Mm-hmm. Oh. I think he's on CNN Plus. I think he's doing over there.
Can I tell you why?
Well, where are you?
Yeah.
You're the NWA World Champion. You have no self-awareness at all.
We got to go back because we're about to get some Metzger.
Come on, Mets. Come on, Mets. Come on,
you can do this.
Come on, Metzger. Let's go. Let's cheer on Metzger, everyone. Let's see. He can do this. He can get one out here. Come on, Metzger.
I think he's doing over
there. Can I tell you why I resent Trump? Because how come he gets to do all the edgy material?
Yes, it's true.
I got to watch it like I'm running for office.
Because when you're cancer free, like Trump's bills are paid for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like my truck's paid for. You cancel me. I don't care. I'll go fishing. Like when you get to a point where you don't care about what the so-called masses say, you just move on. You're
so basically he's basically just said to Kurt Metzger there, Kurt, the reason that you have to worry about that is because you're fucking poor and you're having, I have my truck paid off. I'll just go to the lake. I don't give a fuck. Same as Trump. He's got like, you know, he doesn't give a shit. Whereas you need the money because you're poor and unsuccessful. That's what he just said to Kurt Metzger to finish the segment off.
He did.
You know what I'm talking about? Because I can get in my truck and drive away.
Yeah.
Yes, it's like being cancer-free. But
I thought he said cancer-free.
I thought he said cancer-free. And then
none of us are cancer-free. I'm cancel-free.
Cancel-free.
I've paid all my off.
Oh, yeah. I already got cancer.
So I don't got to fly a couple extra weeks a month? Cool. I'm out.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey.
All right. Oh my God, that's how it ended, was them misunderstanding. I thought you said cancer free. Oh, me too. No, I said cancel free. I just sort of trailed off. That's the end of the video.
Yeah. And then hi, I'm Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity then pops in to remind you his fucking evil ass.
Well, that was Gutshot. I can't believe me and you together got through a 13-minute clip in 1 hour and 5 minutes.
How long does it usually take?
Because what ends up happening usually is people get so sick of him they just let him go. But this is hour 20, hour 30. Some of these take, but this one was. I think.
Do you want to talk? Do you want to talk longer?
I mean, I don't. I don't have anything else to do.
What do you want to talk about? What kind of? What's on? What wrestling's on?
AEW Dynamite is on at 8:00, and I'm kind of excited to see that since I was at the pay-per-view.
So it's kind of like it kind of gives you the sort of the storylines that you were already invested in live. Now you get to see how that's playing
the live show. And I had a good time in Chicago because I was driving down and I hit some big piece of metal and it fucking shredded my tire and bent my rim. And I was like halfway between Columbus and Chicago, which is 3 hours either way.
Where's the nearest city?
Richmond. We were in Richmond, Indiana. And luckily it happened at a time where we could get it all fixed and back on the road, because if it had been a half hour later, all the places that we had to use to get.
What would you have done? Would you have gotten something to.
You would have driven on a spare to Chicago and got it fixed in Chicago.
You would have gone to the show no matter what.
Yeah, I was going to Chicago. There was no way I was not going to Chicago. I like going there for Labor Day weekend.
So how long were you there for?
From 5 days, Thursday to yesterday. We drove home.
And where did you stay?
See, that was the problem. We stayed by Millennium Park.
I don't know the city, but what did you stay in a hotel or?
Yeah, I don't stay in Airbnbs anymore if I can help it. I like to be in a 4-star-plus hotel.
I stayed in a hotel when I went to Los Angeles. You know, we booked it in advance and we got a good deal because it was under renovation. The W Hotel.
Ooh. Just
the only renovation that was the they didn't have the lobby downstairs. You had to go upstairs to it, like beside where so they were renovating the whole bottom part. So whatever, it didn't really matter. We still had the rooftop pool, and we got a better deal on it, and that was really
fun. Where were you at in LA? What neighborhood?
The Hollywood, W Hollywood, right? We were staying at Hollywood and Vine. I mean, it's a brutal place to stay, but it's really close to a Trader Joe's, and the Trader Joe's has that fresh squeezed orange juice that I'm obsessed with, and it's really close to a weed store. There was a weed store right by there, had everything you needed right close by, and there's a Hollywood and Vine subway station to go downtown, so it worked out. But you don't want to stay in Hollywood, really.
We are now talking, me and the wife, of in November, in between guys runs, about going to Anchorage, Alaska. So
wow,
we might go there. And
I've been there before, just on a cruise, but we like stopped in there, you know what I mean, like for a day, and I spent a day in Anchorage, Alaska.
I think we're gonna spend a week there trying to watch the stars because my wife likes the stars. And I
usually... that's cool. Well, hey, tell you what, try fucking Hollywood Boulevard. Yes. But, you know, in all seriousness, if she likes stars, she should try Hollywood. There's a lot of them there. But I have a question for you about when you're staying there. How was the toilet situation?
Okay.
This is nice for people because we're late in the episode, so it's only like the true, like the gutshot part's done.
Problem. I'll tell you that.
Sorry.
On the first day, I had a terrible toilet problem. And then after that, I was able to get it taken care of. So the first
hang on. Let's you were able to get it taken care of. That's huge that you could persevere through that. And I have to say, you saw that plane story?
No.
You didn't see that? They had to turn a flight around because a guy had this diarrhea all over the plane.
Oh no. No, it wasn't diarrhea.
No, Of course not. But just a shitting thing like that. I was just like, I was laughing at him so hard. And then I was like, no, people do have shitting things. And it was because of you. You made me more like sort of empathetic of that type of thing.
I think I figured some stuff out on the trip. And I am now going to, I fixed some issues that I had been having because I had a, I don't want to say it.
It's, yeah, don't, you don't have to say
it. A horrible situation when I first got there that sent me down a panic attack.
Okay, so this is not like a funny, like you broke the toilet?
No, it's not. It is more of a, let's put it like this. I thought I was having a health scare for a full day. It freaked me out, and I was talking to everybody. I was calling my doctor. I was just all over the place about this thing. And then
they're going to get so mad at me about how I was laughing about this.
And then I figured out, sort of, we talked about it, and it was just like, maybe, because I wasn't getting fiber in me for like months. Since I've moved, I've been really bad about eating, and I think that's what happened.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Water that was like, because once I started making a concerted effort to get fiber in me and drink water, everything's normal. I came home yesterday and used my own bathroom. I didn't have
that's to sick. That's sick. So, yeah, that's key. Like, fiber is a legit thing. You gotta get your fiber in, or it'll fuck you up. That's like. Think of when, especially when like old people are all over it because their shit's always getting so hard and it's hard for them to shit.
That was the issue. Yeah. And it, so I'll just say it was hard and then it maybe cut something.
Cut your lower. Yes. Well, we know what it cut.
Hole. And then there was maybe something red in the toilet when I got up and fucking I panicked and thought that I was dying.
But it was bright red, right?
Bright red.
Yeah. Yes. See, that's good.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. And it scared me. So, but that's what my wife was saying.
Bright red is good. Dark red is bad.
Brother said it. My sister-in-law that was there who has had the same problem said it. And yeah. I just for one full day was melting down.
It is hard. Obviously, like when I was younger, it has happened to me before, you know, and it is not something you want to see. You do not ever want to see blood in there. Regardless, people can tell you, hey, don't worry. It's bright. It's good. And you're just like, I still feel kind of unsure about this. Blood came out of my bunghole.
And it was just like that all happened on the first day. The first and second day I got so my car thing happens. I get into Chicago. Have you ever been to Chicago?
No, I haven't. Never. Well,
when you get into Chicago, if you're staying in a hotel in the loop, which is
I heard that a big issue if you're staying in the hotel is you get out of the car and you go into the lobby, but on the way from the car to the lobby, it blows all of your luggage away because it's so windy.
So when you pull into Chicago and the hotel I stayed in, I'll talk about it. So the hotel I stayed in had this thing called an urban fee, and it was because it was in the city. They charged you $20 a day and they gave you a small bottle of Fiji water and you were allowed to make unlimited phone calls. And there was a gym that was like the benefits for that $20. But they didn't have a parking lot. And it says it on their website. We don't have a parking lot, which somebody got real mad at me when I was complaining about it. They're like, they can't have a parking lot for everything. And I'm like, okay. People do drive into towns. It's
not having a parking lot at a hotel seems like, if you can't have the space for a hotel or find a place for people to park, then you can't really get it to a hotel.
Yeah. So I went on Spot Hero, which I've used in Chicago a few times, and I put in the address of the hotel. I found a place that was like 0.1 mile away.
Nice.
I'll just go there. But when you come to Chicago, there are two sets of roads. There's lower roads and upper roads. If you're on the upper roads, you're fine. Everything's great. The second you go to the lower part of the city, all GPS is gone. You don't have fucking GPS anymore at all. So you're driving around and you're like, you're guessing at where you're supposed to turn and all that stuff. So I get into town and I accidentally end up on Lower Wacker, which is one of the roads. And I don't know where the fuck.
Yeah, I tell you what, I've a couple of times in your life, you've accidentally ended up as the Lower Wacker, if you know what I'm saying. He's in a massive orgy where he's at the bottom doing whacking off all the dicks. Whack, 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 whack.
My
he's
brother called whack. It, spelled it W-H-A-C-K-E-R. And I was like, that's a different thing than whacker, W-A-C. But I was under this thing. And just guessing, just turning corners, and I wasn't getting out. I couldn't get to my hotel because I was underneath the ground. And then once you got above ground, the sign at the hotel was so small, Chris. Because it's like one of those hipster hotels where
small it's sign like, alert, where it's like you just should know where we are.
Yeah. And there's an alley and there's a front entrance. And people don't know this because I don't talk about it a lot, but I sleep with a box fan, okay? And it has to hit
my. Why would you talk about that?
Right. It has to hit my face. I have a Lasco fan and I have to have it hitting my body or I can't sleep. I need and I need it to hit my body.
I have a question. Do you find that dries you out ever? Dries your lips out and dries your. No, your dries your nostrils out never? No.
Cool. No, it's great. And then so I have to have that. But if you're in a hotel or you're at my house, you have to. You can't just set the fan on the ground and it'll hit you. So what I have is, do you know what tie down straps are for cars?
Yeah.
So I have a big tie down strap and a laundry hamper. That's one of the tall ones. And I take the tie down.
Yeah, I've seen it. And you showed me this before at your house.
I strapped it down. Well, I bring that with me to the hotel. Too the hamper.
What do you mean? The hamper?
And
you
bring everything. The hamper?
It's like, what do you mean?
I bring the whole thing. The whole
because you're driving.
Yeah. No, if I was in a hotel when I was in LA, I just bought a fan and
you didn't bring it. You didn't bring it into LA. But if you're driving, that's reasonable. You put it in the back seat. Why not? I would do that. I bring my pillow if I'm just going somewhere and I'll bring my pillow. I have a really nice, like climate cool, beautiful pillow that I kind of can't sleep without. So if it's at all possible, I'll bring it with me.
Well, we get to the hotel finally and we go back in the alley before I go check in. And my wife has to unload the hamper and the fucking fan and all the bags. I brought all my.
Why does she have to unload them?
Because I'm checking in. So she's unloading them onto the cart. That's and bullshit. She's getting ready to take the cart up.
She there. Should check in. You should load them.
What's in my name? She calls herself a travel princess. She doesn't do anything. I do all that.
Okay. So okay. Fair enough.
I rent the hotels. I figure out the subway, which I figure all that stuff out.
You're like, you figure out if you're going to do foot long or 6-inch.
We don't have, you know.
That's a subway.
I thought you were going with a sex thing. I was like,
no, that's a subway joke. But okay, when we don't make subway sex references ever since, so you know who.
Yeah. But the second I got done checking in and stuff, I looked at the Spot Hero parking thing so I could go park my car, and it was underground. So I had to drive back down into the lower part of the city. And just drive around until I saw the building that I was supposed to park in. It was so fucking stressful. And that is the first night I'm there. And then the next morning, the blood thing happens. And it's just like the first 2 days, I was probably the least fun person to have around. But
can I tell you something, Monsieur Millennial? that's what people used to have to find, how you people used to have to find stuff all the time without fucking GPS. Thank you very much. When I used to go watch Mid-South Wrestling, okay, you know, Teddy Roger, Jimmy,
Teddy Rogers.
Buddy Rogers, and, you know, Dory Funk, you know, I'd have to find it based on somebody's directions alone. And that's old school shit. And maybe might have actually expanded your mind a little bit.
I also bought my brother's wrestling ticket. And one of the reasons I wanted him to come with me is he's never been to a pay-per-view. And I was like, I'd be fun for me and him to go to a pay-per-view together. I thought, great.
You should take him to, you know, take him to a real one.
Well, one that he likes. I wanted to take him to a pay-per-view for a promotion that he likes. So
he's probably influenced by having you around because you're very biased.
You're
very biased against WWE. Admit it. You have a real hate on for WWE. You have a hate on for some of the legends of wrestling as well. Some legendary racket carrying legends. You have a certain hate on for those. And it sort of skews your opinion sometimes.
I wanted him to see CM Punk in Chicago, which
never happened because
didn't happen.
That's such a bullshit move to fire CM Punk.
Nobody wants, well, I guess, you know, people have.
He's the only reason to watch that shit promotion. Now you end up with a main event where guys literally has his hands in his jean pockets in the main event of a fucking pay-per-view. No, seriously, think about that for a second. Think about Buddy Rogers, Bruno Sammartino, MSG, and think about now a main event where a guy literally has his hands in jean pockets.
It was one of the best main events I've ever seen live, for sure.
But of course, because you go to AEW events.
Oh, shit. I've been to so many indie events. I've seen all of the
stars. Have you been to a WWE event? Yes, have you been to a WWE pay-per-view?
First off, I went to Raw a couple times.
That's not a pay-per-view for anyone who's listening.
Yes, I sat in the luxury box at a Money in the Bank because I knew a guy.
Money in the Bank is a bullshit one. I'm talking Survivor Series. I'm talking Royal Rumble. I'm talking WrestleMania. No. I'm talking one of the originals, buddy. I'm talking one of the originals.
I've been to most of the biggest American pro wrestling shows in the past few years. No WWE. I've seen everybody in that company live on indie shows and stuff like that. Or as you might call them, outlaw mud shows.
So you've seen Roman Reigns at a backyard outlaw mud show.
No, I saw Roman though. I did see Roman Reigns on the Raw that I went to, okay. And I went to the first ever NXT show outside of Florida. I was there, and it actually was one of my favorite moments of wrestling that I've ever seen live because reason had decided to have the Big Show and Ryback wrestle a match at an NXT show, and the crowd turned on it. So I've never seen a crowd other than like
at saying Ryback didn't bring it that day.
Well, no, just nobody wanted to see that.
Yeah, right. Nobody cares about Ryback.
Nobody wanted to see those two guys on an NXT show.
Yeah, and just lumbering around the ring like slow ass match. Yeah.
Oh, they looked so depressed, Chris. Like they were so beaten down. By the audience just wouldn't let him go. But yeah, so I went to a bunch of these. I've been to a lot of Ring of Honor shows, a lot of AEW. I mean, I've probably been to more.
I have a question for you.
Pay-per-views.
I have a question for you. Have you ever seen Corny live?
Cornette. No, I wouldn't have seen. He wouldn't have been on anything I've been to. He doesn't like any of the. First of all, he doesn't fly. He doesn't. Cornette just doesn't like the same things that I like in pro wrestling, is really what it is. I like a certain type of thing, which is maybe a more modern version, right? And he likes the old territory version that wouldn't make sense in 2023 because everybody already knows wrestling's fake, but he has in his mind that they can somehow convince people that wrestling is real again.
Well, maybe if they actually tried and they didn't do all this bullshit. And I have one phrase that could bring it all back as Brian smashes into the microphone. Bring back the 30-minute headlock. I want to see a headlock.
Brian Danielson has done that. Did you know Brian Danielson and Claudio Castagnoli did that in PWG years ago?
You know that I like Brian Danielson.
God, he was in the, that was one of the best matches.
He's one of the only AEW wrestlers that I actually like, and that's true, and you know that. I talk about that with you, like, off of the podcast.
Yeah, that strap match is one of the best matches I've ever seen in my life. It was really fucking good.
He's incredibly talented technical wrestler. He's good, well-rounded. He's really one of the greats.
I love it when I get on my feet at a show, and I don't do that as much as I used to because I don't know. I've been to a lot, but I was up on my feet a lot during All Out. Very good show.
I keep picturing, and we should go. I got to go and eat here soon, and we have gone pretty. But I do want to say I just pictured, for some reason, it made me laugh really hard, like you standing up and going, holy shit, but nobody joining in on the holy shit chant.
I don't chant. I actually don't. That's the modern thing I don't like. I don't like the chants.
You don't like the holy shit. Holy shit.
Because that's one thing the territories and stuff had that I loved is that, like, real heat isn't chanting. Yes. You know what I mean? Real heat is people being apoplectic and angry and screaming, and then somebody coming in and making them feel like there was some kind of payoff. And the chanting just, it feels planned.
Well, all of it does now, and there's too many high points, and we know that.
You like high spots. I love high spots.
I call them high points, but... Yeah. Yeah, there's too many of them, too many high spots in wrestling nowadays. And as we all know, when there's 25 high spots, then you got zero high spots.
Yes, I'll let you have the last word on high spots.
Thank you. This
has been Gutfeld. It was very fun. Kevin Smith, guys, next week on the show.
That was a good one.
And then new episodes coming soon. Gwen is finding me lawn, guys. So we're going to try and get that done next week. We will see you all then. Goodbye.